1 John chapter 5. Very important for you to look along. If you haven't got a Bible, the ushers will get you one. Bible, say amen.
Amen.
I believe the Bible, amen? I don't question it. I believe what it says. I don't always understand it, but a lot of the time I do. Very, very, very simple statement in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. Bronson, can you read that for us nice and loud? Stand and read that for us, 1 John 5, 12, with your deep reading voice. Amen? 1 John 5, 12. Can you read that verse for us, please, nice and loud? All 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the life. He that hath the Son hath life. We'll talk about life a little bit tonight. And I got on a tangent today that I got kind of excited about. Some of you might find this a little tedious, so I'll try to go through it kind of quickly just to show you where I went. And I'm going to spend a couple of weeks on this, but think of the things in the Bible, the Bible says that there's something of life. For example, in the garden there was the tree of life, right? Now, who could name some others? The tree of life, what else is there? No, of life, something of life. Of life. Okay, I don't remember that one. Anybody else? Mr. Gonzalez, you got one? Book of life, that's one. Okay, book of life. Say it. Yeah, eternal, but I'm not quite clearly explaining this. Let me show you what I'm talking about. There are actually, in the Bible, there are a total of 26 things of life. I'll give you some of them, okay? There is the bread of life, the breath of life, Genesis 2:7. The tree of life, Genesis 2:9. The path of life, Psalm 16:11. The way of life, Proverbs 6:23. The bread of life, John 6. The manner of life, Acts 26. The word of life, that was mentioned, Philippians 2:16. The book of life, and water of life. Now, of all those, the ones that occur over and over and over, tree, book, way, breath, which one do you think you see the most? Just wild guess. Okay, that's one try. Anybody else? Tree. The tree of life. I don't know how much significance to put to this, but 10 times the Bible talks about the tree of life. And the first of those is in Genesis chapter 2. The book of life is mentioned 8 times. The way or ways of life, 5 times. The breath of life, 4 times. Time of life, path of life, fountain of life, water of life, 3 or 4 times for each of those. And then there's a bunch of them that are mentioned once or twice. And so I got to looking at these things that are of life. Let's back up to where I started. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, you think of life in 2 different ways. One of them has been mentioned over and over already. We think of eternal life, don't we? When does eternal life begin? The moment you get saved. That's when your eternal life begins. And it lasts forever. If it didn't, if you got saved and God gave you eternal life, and then you lost it, it wasn't very eternal, was it? So if he says eternal, the other word is everlasting, they mean the same thing. Now, that feels really good to know you have, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he that hath the Son hath life. And don't forget in 1 John, we use this next verse quite a lot. In verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So you can know you have eternal life. Amen? That's good. I am not worried about finding a house in heaven, Mr. Dahman. I am not worried about having a sore back in heaven. I'm not worried about getting sick in heaven. I'm not worried about having a car that runs in heaven. I'm not worried about anything in heaven. In eternity, it's all taken care of, isn't it? So we just got to get from here to there, right? I don't know who the oldest one here is tonight. We won't do that experiment. I'm 65. They say that if you've made it to 65, there's a good chance, whatever chance is, that you might make it to 85. You might make it to 90. Who knows? Either way you cut it, I probably have 20 or 25 years on this earth and then eternity. Amen? Now, you got to admit, this life can be challenging, can't it? There is sickness. There are people that will do whatever people do to hurt you, maybe, or because they don't love the Lord, they don't obey God, and so they might rob from you, or they might do something against you. There are illnesses. There are, we call them accidents, but really God's in control. So there are incidents, let's say. And then there are just the obstacles that you face in life. I want to talk a little bit about life. Now, let's just start out and have a little fun with this. How do you define life? That's tough. What's the definition of life? I like to go and look in Webster's 1828 dictionary and see what they have to say. He's got two good definitions. One of them is this: life is that state of being where soul and body are united. That's a good definition. You're here today, you're walking, you're talking, you're animated, your body is functioning, and for as long as you continue to be that way, your soul resides in your body. That's one definition of life. Another definition of life could very well be the period of time between conception and death. Folks, when a baby is conceived, it has life. A doctor told me one time, he said that there is a point in time when that infant, after conception, is 128 identical cells. There's no difference at all in that 128 cells. And there they are in a little ball, 128 of them, too small to see, a little pin speck of a point in, you know, a pinpoint, 128 cells. And then all of a sudden, as they divide, they become specialized. Some of them become eyes. Some of them become feet. Some of them become ears. Some of them become head. Some of them become fingers. Who does that? The Bible says God forms us in the womb. Amen? You can see, I'm not very fond of anybody that would get a sharp instrument and go inside of a woman and cut a baby up. That's wicked. That's sin. That's wrong. I'm not here to talk about that. But you and I, until that day when our soul leaves our body, and you can use the word spirit if that makes you more comfortable, when our spirit leaves our body, up until that point, we have physical life. But here's a thought. Would you have to, yeah, I think you would agree with me. Life is not merely existence. And existence is not really all by itself life. Life is not just existing. For example, my wife's mother, when she had serious Alzheimer's, she was laying on a bed looking up in the air. That's all she could do. She couldn't talk. She could breathe. Her heart was beating. She was alive. But she could not communicate. She could not stand up. She couldn't do anything for herself. That's not really living, is it? I mean, there's life there. And there, the soul and body are still together. But let me ask you this question, and I think we would all agree, just a simple, selfish question. Wouldn't you like to have a good life? Amen? And so where are you going to go for a good life? Life can be vain. It can be empty. Our physical life, let me read you a couple of verses. Let's talk about physical life for a minute. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So first and foremost, only God can give physical life. We've all heard the story of Frankenstein. I remember when I read that when I was in junior high school, scared me to death. I don't know why. And the idea that someone could take a dead body and bring it back to life. No, you can't do that. God can. Oh, for example, in John chapter 11, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. God can give life, physical life. Aren't you glad he gave you that life? You have it right now. He determines how long it lasts. It's not a matter of luck or chance or fate. In Revelation 11, there's a story. We studied this in Bible class, didn't we, Bronson? After 3 days, there were these two prophets, and they had been laying on the ground dead. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those that saw them. God can give life even to a dead body. It's happened many times in the Bible. I won't go through all those. You can think of them on your own. So you have to agree with me. God is the only one that can give physical life. The very fact that you're here today, you're breathing, your heart is beating, you are conscious, you're able to move around, and whatever abilities you've got, some more than others, that came from God. Thank God for that. And you say, well, I'll have that till I get old. Did you hear about the, what was it, 25-year-old? I think he was a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens that died just recently. And then another fellow died. And every day you read in the news of people that are young that died. You say, well, they thought they had their whole life ahead of them, but their whole life was only a matter of hours rather than a matter of years or decades. God gives us life. I ministered in spiritual life as well, and we'll just read you a few verses here. John chapter 20, in verse 31, the Bible says, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Romans 8:10, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And then Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Let that soak in a little bit. Let me read that again. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." There's a spiritual life that transcends physical life. In fact, sin kills us spiritually, but God gives us spiritual life. And then just for the record, we've mentioned, only God can give physical or spiritual. Only God can give eternal life. John 10:28, he said, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 11:26, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So God is the one that gave us our life, whatever it is. Now, in receiving that life, the question is, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to have a good one? How do you have a good life? Someone says, if I was wealthy, I'd have a good life. Probably not. Someone says, if I had something, if I had a wife or a husband, if I had a house, if I had a car, if I had, not necessarily. I remember when I wanted a car so bad in high school, I got one. That did not suddenly make my life perfect. In fact, it was probably more trouble than anything else. Physical life without spiritual life is meaningless, folks. The fact that you are alive, if you do not have Christ, it is empty, it is vain, it is worthless. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 6:12, he says, "Who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow." In other words, what Solomon's saying there is, who really knows how to have a good life? And we're going to spend some time in Ecclesiastes on Sunday mornings as we go along now. And I'm still looking at the life of Solomon, just got started, but we're going to look at some of his thoughts. Do you know Solomon was the richest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had more access to that kind of experience than any other man ever had. And all the things he had, he was the king of the most powerful nation in the world at the time. He had peace. And what did he say? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, here's the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, everybody here, I don't care who you are, young or old, somewhere along the way, you want to have a good life. Probably a lot of us are saying, I want to have a better life. And you really probably are trying to find out how to have a better life. When you're young, you tend to think, if I just had this, if I just had that. And then as you get older, you start to learn. You know, after I'd had like five different cars, and I had some nice cars. I had a 68 Buick Skylark. That was a terrible car. I got rid of that, and I got a 66 GTO. Wow, what a car. I got rid of that, and I got a Mustang too. That was a pretty nice car. I got rid of that, and I got a Mazda RX-7. That was a nice car. I had a Mercury Cougar in there somewhere. I had a Mercury Capri. After a while, it dawned on me, cars don't make you happy. So then I got married, and we bought a house. I thought, well, if I had a house, that'd be great. And then I had a second house, and after I sold that one, I got another one, and sold that one, and got another one. That didn't work either. Houses don't make you happy. I had a job. I loved my job. I enjoyed going to work every day. I couldn't wait to get there. I'd stay there 50, 60 hours a week. And I realized, that doesn't make you happy either. That's why Solomon says, who knows how to have a good life? I know somebody who knows how to have a good life. And he can help us if you'll let him. There are some people who live their life, but they're really just as though they were dead. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He came to his father and he said, give me everything that I have coming to me. I've got an inheritance coming. I want it now. Give me my money. And his father gave him the money and he took off and he spent it all. And the Bible uses the phrase in riotous living. I don't know what he did. He threw parties. He bought things. He had friends, as long as he had money at least. And then he wound up realizing, hey, that's finite. And the money was gone. And long story short, he went back to his father. And his father made a statement when he came back. He said, this, my son, was dead and is alive again. That wasn't that he was physically dead, but he was living a life that was just as good as death. What's your life worth? Amen? Well, how can you have a good life? How can you have a satisfying life? That's why these things of life are interesting to me. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. Jesus said this. I am come that they, he's talking about us, by the way, might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ can give you a good life. You got to do it his way. Someone says, I'm going to do it my way. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. In Matthew 10:39, and there's other verses that agree with this, he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Someone says, oh, wow, this is my life. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to own things. I'm going to do things. I'm going to be things. I'm going to accomplish things. This is my life. I'm making the choices. I'm deciding what to do. Jesus says, you lost it. Someone else says, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Somebody, oh, I know who it was. A student, a former student, sent me an email. And he said, Pastor Schaefer, I have decided to give my life to Jesus. He was already saved. That's a pretty good life. Amen? We'll talk about why a little bit later on. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ? Then the next thing is it your life or is it his life? When it comes time to make a decision, do you make the decision or do you let him make the decision? When it comes time to choose what activity to engage in, do you choose the activity or let him choose the activity? I'm not pretending it's easy. But I know good and well, the Bible talks about how to have joy. The Bible talks about how to have peace. The Bible talks about how to have prosperity. They all come from God. And you say, well, Pastor, there are rich people that are lost. Yeah, but are they happy? There are rich people that are at peace. Okay, maybe. But I know this, God can give us those things. Only God can give us physical life. Only God can give us spiritual life. Only God can give us eternal life. And only God can give us a good life. There are people who have physical life, and they were given that physical life so that they'd have the opportunity to gain eternal life. Being alive doesn't mean eternal life. You have to obtain that. You have to get that. And only God can give it to you. That's where I started. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you asked Jesus to come into your life, to be your life, to change your life? Amen? That's eternal life. There are those who give their life to Jesus, and they find it that way. They save it that way. They enjoy it that way. And there are those that keep their life for themselves, and the way God describes that is that they lose their life that way. God gave us physical life. Because of sin, that physical life has a time limit. It's very brief. It's like a vapor. God gave every man the opportunity to have eternal life. Those that reject him are without excuse, Romans 1:20. But the man who receives Christ is assured of eternal life, but then, and that's the catch, must walk with Christ, live for Christ, in order to have a good quality of life here and in eternity. Now, I'll tell you right now, and I'm done. The way you live your life is a reflection of what you believe. I'm studying for Sunday school for this coming Sunday morning, and we're looking at the things in the Bible and how God teaches us, and I'll get into it Sunday during Sunday school. But the first time God mentions something in the Bible, he'll always point out something important about it. The first time we see Satan in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, what do we hear about him? The serpent was more subtle. Subtle. Tricky, sneaky, deceptive, and good at it. In fact, he excels at it. The Bible says he is a liar. And in this life, Satan has some access to you. Think about Peter. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he can sift you like wheat. You know how they sift wheat? Throw it up in the air and it comes crashing down, and throw it up in the air and it comes crashing down, and it separates the chaff from the good, and they throw it up in the air and it comes crashing down. Satan has desired to have you, he can sift you like wheat. And what did Jesus say? That I won't let him do that? No, he didn't say that. He said, I prayed that your faith would fail not. What you believe will be reflected by how you live your life. Last week, we ran vacation Bible school. How many would agree with me? That was hard. It was hot. Took a lot of work. Still got work to do. Michelle's going to have to help us and get this put down. But a lot of work went into that. And now if I was going to choose what I would think would be easy, I'd be at home in the air conditioning drinking a Coca-Cola and taking it easy. But there's something more valuable than that. So what did we do? We came down here and we were hot and we were tired and we were working and we did have some good popcorn and things like that, but we were doing a lot of work. But don't you feel good now? Amen? What makes you feel better? Sitting at home drinking Coke? Coming to church and serving the Lord? Amen? It's like Wednesday night. I get excited to come in. It's work. I prepare a message and it's hot, and again, I could stay home and take it easy, but no. It sure feels good to come here and be with God and with God's people and to pray. And 5 minutes from now, we'll be finishing up, sing a song, we'll be on the way, and then I can go drink a Coke. But then I'll have something to look back and say, praise God, my life has a purpose. My purpose is not to drink Coke. If you don't like Coke, Dr. Pepper, I don't know, coffee. But the purpose is not, those are the things that God gives us to refresh us so we can keep on serving him. He that hath the Son hath life. You say, well, yes, Pastor, I'm saved. I think if you have the Son, it won't just affect your eternity, it will affect your today. And the more you let Christ change your today, the better life you will have. And if you don't believe me, start reading the Bible in Genesis and look at the people that walk with God and the people that don't. And Psalm 1 is the epitome of that. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that he meditate day and night." And it says, whatever he does is going to prosper. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a good life. I pray God would let us see, if I'm going to have a good life, just like only God can give physical life, just like only God can give spiritual life, just like only God can give eternal life, only God can give me a good life. And so we're going to look at some of these things of life, the book of life and the tree of life and the way of life and the water of life. Let's just talk about life a little bit and see what God can do. Amen? Let's all stand, and with every head bowed and every eye closed.